Swiss Army Nation, welcome to your podcast. This show is about you, your passion, and your experiences. Join us for panel discussions, interviews, fan profiles, and so much more. When the curtain drops, the excitement begins. So let's go.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to episode 131 of the Kiss Army Nation podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Pasquale Vary.
And I am Claudius Pera. Welcome to the show, everyone.
It's hard to believe KISS will never again play live on Canadian soil. With the Madison Square Garden show just around the corner, the end is imminent. But as Gene Simmons said, the brand will never die. We, the KISS fans, will continue to keep the brand alive and kicking. On this very special episode of the KISS Army Nation podcast, we're going to discuss our experiences with the final Canadian shows of the End of the Road tour with the Canadian KISS Army. Because in the end, all we have left will be our memories.
So we are so happy to share our memories with an amazing panel of guests. So from Winnipeg, Manitoba, we have Megan Ketchison. How are you, Megan?
Hi, thanks. Very well. How are you doing?
Very good, thank you. From Montreal, Quebec, we are joined by our dear friend, Doug Bentley. Hey, Dougie.
Hi, Claudio. Hi, Paz. Thank you so much for having me. This is awesome. Hi, Megan and Mark and Mark.
Also from Winnipeg, Manitoba, welcome, Mark Sawatsky. How are you, Mark?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me. This is great.
It's a pleasure to have you. And finally, from Halifax, Nova Scotia, Mark Wetley. How you doing, Mark?
Wonderful. Thank you. And like the rest of the guests, I appreciate being here very much so.
This is going to be so cool. The six of us here on one show talking about our Canadian KISS experiences. It's going to be an amazing night. But before we talk about our experiences, before we talk about the end, let's talk about the beginning a little bit. So when and how did it start for you? Let's start with Megan.
Well, back in 1975, I was probably just coming up to 7 years old. My dad had the best stereo on the block. And so all the babysitters would come and bring their records. And so this one babysitter brought over Dressed to Kill and put it on, and that was it. I was gone. I was a huge KISS fan right from then. It took a couple of years before the band came to Regina, which was in 1977. I didn't get a chance to see the show then because it sold out so fast. Tried to see them in England. Finally, I finally got to see them in 1985. So when they came on the Animalize tour. So that's a bit of my KISS journey.
Cool. Doug, how about you?
My first introduction to KISS was through 16 magazine. So I saw them as, I don't know if it was 76 or 77, but I saw 16 magazine, bought it, fell in love with the style that them before even hearing the music, but I got Destroyer pretty quickly. And I was very fortunate, and then Alive. So it was Destroyer, then Alive. And that was just, I mean, seeing the picture was enough for me. But I saw my first show in 79. I saw the Dynasty Tour, which, Pasc, you were at as well in Montreal. And have been, went up and down with it. When the makeup came off, I sort of lost a bit of interest, but picked back up again later on. And it was awesome to catch up on that music that I had missed. And now my wife and I have been on the last two KISS cruises. And we're going to be in New York City for the last show, and we're pretty happy about that.
Awesome. Mark S.
Christmas 1977. My older sister got it was a pretty important Christmas because I got my first drum set, and my older sister got KISS Alive too. So pretty much from there. Fast forward to the drum solo in God of Thunder, and I was hooked, setting up this consumers distributing drum kit next to the stereo and trying to play along with it. And ever since then, it's pretty much been a love relationship. There was like others have mentioned, when the makeup came off, or slightly prior to the makeup coming off, interest sort of waned. Of course, Mom was worried of a 7-year-old kid running around the house blaring out put your hand in my pocket and grab onto my rocket. Meanwhile, I had no idea what it meant. So she was a little concerned. So the KISS posters had to come down and whatnot, and which then led me to other forms of music. But then it was great, like reintroducing myself with them in 84 and around the Animal Eyes era. But unfortunately, they came to Winnipeg and I didn't go see them because that sort of, we crossed paths and it didn't meet up. So my first show was in 88 for Crazy Nights. And ever since then, whenever they come to Winnipeg or close to it, I always try and follow them. Yeah.
Very cool. Mark W.
Not unlike the rest of you, it was the early 70s or mid 70s, sorry. I was just approaching my 8th birthday. And the weird thing is that it wasn't KISS. There was a guy across the street who said, hey, there's a band pretending to be KISS tonight at the school. Do you want to go? And I had no clue what KISS was at the time. But I went and saw what would have been my first sort of lip sync show. And it was enough that I was like, what the hell was this? And so that was fast approaching my 8th birthday, where I opened my first Rock and Roll Over was my first record. I got the single for Detroit Rock City with Beth on the other side. I got a Rock and Roll Over yellow t-shirt. And I got my first poster, which I see behind Mark's head on his wall there, at the same time, one of the Campus Craft posters. And that started, I say I've been collecting KISS memorabilia since I was 7, because the memory started at 7. The official memorabilia started at 8 years old. And as you all know, we get bitten by that bug. And geez, when I look at things that I've done in my life, really, it's been the greatest commitment that I've made. You know, relationships, jobs, cars, any of these things have come and gone, but KISS has been constant in my life, as to all of you. Hence the reason why I think us type of KISS fans get together at these events and we just have this sense of camaraderie that I don't think is matched by any other fans or bands.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think, you know what, that's a really nice way to put it. You know, as you were talking, Mark, about commitment, it is true. I guess it applies for all of us. You know, no matter what happens in your life, you know, this band has been with us forever. And now, you know, it's kind of a bittersweet. You know, it's coming to the end, at least for the entity, you know, tour of the entity, you know, part of the band touring. And now getting into the specific topic of going to the shows, we all attended shows in the recent days, and we wanted to ask you something. So before the iconic curtain came down and pyro filled up the air, did you do any pre-parties? Did you meet up with fans? Did you do any meet and greets or sound check? Doug, I would like to start with you.
Hey, start with me. Sure. Thanks, Claudio. Pretty much the whole weekend was spent with Mark and with Pask. Saturday was in Montreal. My wife and I brought the kids. They're 12 and 8. It was their second KISS show. We brought them End of the Road when they were 4 and 7. Wow. So we hung out at Ye Olde Orchard before the show with Roger. Was there, whole group of KISS people congregated, thanks to KISS Army Nation, putting that out there. And I spent pretty much the weekend with Pask and Mark, going to Montreal and then Quebec City, on the road to Quebec City, at Quebec City, after Quebec City, with them. Their Normandin restaurant. Pask and I have a membership card. We got points, man. We're traveling
delicious.
In style.
It is.
And as far as, my wife and I did sound check in Quebec City. We were fortunate enough to have that opportunity. And it was amazing. It was just like being on this, kind of like being back on the Sail Away show. It was the same vibe. And being there and just the two of us were just dancing to the songs, and it was overwhelming, because you're right there at the stage. Like, you could, Claudia, you were there with us in Quebec City at the soundcheck. Yeah. You were Mr. VIP right up at the rail. But we were just underneath the pods, man. And being right there was crazy. But I think because we'd been to the cruise and at the Sail Away show, we weren't sitting there stunned, which is easy to be in that situation. Like, we're like, yeah, I hardly took any pictures, but we were just dancing and we were actually interacting with Paul. He came to our side quite a bit and he was smiling because we were the only two people doing this kind of thing to Plaster Caster. And he gave us a couple of head jerks and I'll leave it at that. I could go on. It was amazing. Mm-hmm.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Mark S, how about you, my friend?
For me, this like past 2 weeks of them touring Canada, it started off in Edmonton. Like I said, my sister was the responsible one for bringing Kiss into the household. So we kind of sort of thought it would be fitting that we would sort of close the chapter on that book. She's only seen them, I think, three times, all of which I've dragged her out because she thought, hey, this would be cool to see. And then she also got bit by that, I would call it nostalgia bug or whatever, but she finally got to see her teenage idol. So it was in Edmonton. In terms of getting ready for the show, I ended up going full-blown Peter Criss era Love Gun with the costume, the boots, courtesy of Megan. So prior to the show, there was a lot of folks coming up to me asking me if they could snap pictures, very polite. We kind of kidded around. Like I said, that my older sister was my agent. They would have to pass it by her first. And my wife kept texting us saying, at least ask for $5 so you guys can buy a couple drinks at the show. So there was that. And then, of course, just watching the show. And then in Winnipeg's a little bit more of a unique story. So I came back home. I was at work and there was a particular student at the school that I teach who I'm aware of as a Kiss nut, I would say, for a kid who's in grade 12. Most younger kids don't gravitate towards that as readily these days. But this kid shows up with, it literally has a Kiss t-shirt for every day. Jean jacket is painted with the Kiss logo, patches, knows all the members, right? Past and present, not just the current or not just the original four. And is really a super fan. Showed up to Halloween in their own Destroyer Ace costume, which Megan, you would actually have been impressed by the vest part. It was pretty wild what this kid did with Dollar Store. She told me it was Dollar Store material. Anyway, so I had asked her quite often, you know, are you going to the show? And it was always, nah, tickets are really expensive. And, you know, I don't know if my folks would let me go and that kind of thing. So I was like, okay, all right. And I kept asking. And it got closer to the show. And I said, hey, you know, ticket prices, they're starting to get a little bit more lax. Like, maybe you should check it out. And they were like, well, I asked for my birthday, so I don't know what's going to happen. And I said, well, would your folks let you go to the show if, in fact, you got tickets? And they had said, well, yeah, probably, which got me thinking because there was a contest through a local radio station saying, send in your picture of you in your Kiss outfit and you could win tickets to the show. So long story short, I did that. It took me all of 30 seconds. And I thought to myself, if I win these tickets, if the kid can't go or the parents won't let them go, then of course I'll just give them to a friend of mine. But it ended up that I did win a pair of tickets. And so then it was the franticness because I had to get approval in the school that I teach. I had to get approval from admin to say, hey, yeah, you can give these tickets to the kid or gift it to the kid. So that was the sort of at the 11th hour, because the day of the show, I got the thumbs up. So I went to school that day and I found the student in the library, and me being sort of the wise guy that I am, I'm like, so are you going tonight? And the kid just kind of looked at the floor and was like, yeah, I know the concert's tonight. No, I'm not going. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, well, what are you going to do tonight then? The kid's like, probably nothing. I'll just be at home. And I said, well, you're going to KISS. And you could just literally see the blood rush out from their face. They were just completely overwhelmed. And then, of course, the waterworks started. And after I had traded the tickets over and exchanged the tickets over to the student, staff was coming to me the next day saying, you know, sarcastically, like, thanks a lot, Sawatsky. Like, I couldn't even teach that kid that day because they were in total hysterics that they were going to see KISS, you know. So they took their mom. Their mom's not a KISS fan. So I was, the next day I was talking to the student. I said, so, you know, how'd your folks enjoy it? And they said, well, I took my mom, and they fell asleep during like some of the parts, which I kind of found interesting, but oh well. But they had a great time, and they totally loved it. And I think for them, it was probably a real, when people ask me about the show, it's like, how was the KISS concert? How was the KISS concert? I typically always say I'm the wrong person to ask, because after you follow a band for that amount of time and you know all the intricacies of the show and stuff, you just go, you have fun. But to see it for the first time and not know you're going to see it, and then all of a sudden at the 11th hour somebody comes, goes, you're going to a concert tonight. Wow. Like, to get that kid's review, it is way more of value than me going, yeah, they went out big. It was great. Of course, I'm going to say that. But to listen to them talk about that concert was pretty thrilling. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I did the sound check before. So that was cool. And Megan and I ran into a couple guys from Slash's band. Uh-huh. And we hung out with them. And yeah, it was a good time. But in terms of like, I guess meeting at a set spot and sort of having KISS themed stuff, that really didn't, I wasn't aware of it. I don't know if you were, Megan, but, there wasn't anything going on there. So we just hung out before the show and yeah, talked all things KISS.
Of course. You're beautiful. Megan, how about you?
Well, yes. So I didn't do quite as a magnanimous thing as Mark did, giving the tickets. I just had my own tickets. I got a sound check package. And so that was as a result of not having the Dubai package. That was the deal that I got. And there was actually a little bit of a snafu there with that. I get nervous. I get very, you know, freaked out about these things if they don't all seem to be lining up. I never got my email from them saying that, you know, so I was, I sent a message to some people that I know in the KISS camp and they said, just show up. I sent a note to McGee Entertainment saying, you know, I haven't got my email, da 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 da. And they said, you know, we've got you all right here. So I screenshotted everything. And so then I met up with Mark S. Swatsky at the arena in Winnipeg. And that was sort of the extent of which of our KISS gathering pre-party that we had. We stood in line with a bunch of people, which made it feel very much like the KISS cruise, standing in line to do this, wait, go over here, stand in line to do that. And that was a bit, like I say, that was nerve-wracking because I got up to the front of the line for the sound check and I wasn't on the list. But eventually I said, look, here's my screenshots, here's all of my information, and they let me through. But that was a bit unnerving. So I was relieved that we were actually able to get in. So we walked down into the arena, and it was just, I saw the show in Grand Forks just before COVID. So I kind of had a sense, but when you walk down those stairs and it's just you and this lineup of people walking down into the bowl of the arena and the stage and those pods and the lights, I mean, it just takes your breath away. Even cynical old KISS fans who've seen it all before, it was just, amazing. And it was super cool. Again, Mark and I ran into Brent Fitz and Todd Kearns, who are old friends. They play in Slash's band and also played with Bruce Kulick's band on the Kiss Cruises. So everybody should know them. They're awesome guys. They're good friends. Brent brought his 86-year-old dad. So, you know, there was Merv, you know, he was down there and just the sweetest guy. And what was super cute is, of course, Gene and Brent are good friends. And of course, Brent and Todd being half of Took, Gene comes out, "Hey, there's half of the Took guys." And he's throwing picks at Brent and Todd all the time, like just, you know, firing them at them, and says, "Oh, Brent and Todd, they're going to be in my band. They're in my band." So, you know, Gene had said that, I think, on the cruise as well. But then he said it again at soundcheck. So that was cool. So when Paul and the rest of the guys came out, they did their four songs and they seemed to have a lot of energy. They seemed to be having a lot of fun, which was good. It was nice to see them with that kind of energy and enthusiasm. Yeah. So I was just, and I loved it, but it was weird. And Mark and I kind of talked about this a little bit because, again, as you've mentioned it, very similar to the Sail Away show, right? Just that kind of vibe. And so I just noticed that the people there were a little subdued. They didn't quite know what to do. I mean, and I'm standing there dancing and I'm getting all enthused and I took a million pictures, but I'm a journalist. That's what I do. And so, you know, I noticed that not a lot of other people were getting quite as into it, but I think, you know, saying, "Come on guys, get up." And people started getting into it, but it was a good time. It was a good time.
Awesome. Mark W.
Well, I think it's interesting because this ended up with the last concert ended up in Quebec City for us. As you know, I'm not going to New York City. I wasn't able to make that happen this time around. the last time around, I guess. So I was really looking forward to, you know, this group of four shows, which ended up being only two. Mm-hmm. And the disappointment around the canceling wasn't as much around the fact that I wasn't going to see the Kiss show, but that the first night when they canceled in Ottawa, I had two first time Kiss concert goers coming with me. And I was looking so forward to sitting between the two of them and going, "Wait for this, look over here, watch this." And, you know, kind of MC the show for them almost, if you will, because to Mark Exner's to Mark Swatsky's point, everybody that's on this panel right now, we know what to expect and what's coming. So there's other joys around it and seeing the, you know, the people come to the shows and stuff like that. So to back up, I got a little bunny trailed there, but to back up and ask about the pre-parties and stuff like that, I was coming to these shows on my own. And that's not something that I usually do. I'm a pretty extroverted guy, but I also, you know, I don't like time on my own. But I didn't hesitate because I knew that the Kiss Army and the Kiss Navy was going to be there. And wherever I went, whatever show it was going to be, there was going to be somebody that I was going to recognize from these podcasts, from the multiple Kiss cruises that we've had the opportunity to go on, from the conventions in Jersey or where, you know, wherever we've been, Atlanta, over the years. And it's just such a community that you can't go wrong. And it's funny, my very first Kiss concert was the Hot in the Shade tour. So I was late to the actual shows. I was 21. That was my first show. And then I caught them on the reunion tour. And the difference, I just want to give props to the city of Montreal. The difference between the vibe in the city at the time, like when we pulled into Montreal on that reunion tour, it was, for all intents and purposes, it appeared that the city of Montreal was engaged as it sounds like New York is going to be next week or 2 weeks from now. Because everywhere you look, there seemed to be Kiss parties and, you know, shirts and banners and whatever. And the next day you wouldn't have known they were playing in Toronto. Like there was nothing. But city to city over the, you know, the 40 shows, out of all 41 shows, I've had to travel for all but two of them. You know, every single time I've come home with a new connection or a new group for friends, and many of whom were at the event at the Old Orchard. It was great to see Roger Bernard. It was great to see just different people that showed up, you know, and at the show. So sorry if I'm hogging the air here.
No, it's fine. Great. And Pask, what about you, my friend?
Well, for me, you know, KISS shows have always been about getting together with KISS fans. So I always had it in my mind that I wanted to organize some kind of pre-party before the Montreal show. And my original intention was to do something at my place, something smaller scale, close friends. But I didn't think that would work out because we're so busy doing so many things. I thought, let's do something downtown. It might be a little bit easier. So 2 weeks before the Montreal show, I went to Old Orchard and spoke to the manager. And I asked him, can we do a KISS pre-party here? You know, can we have the music going, the videos going and all of that? Can we have our own spot? And he goes, well, listen, you know, this place is going to be packed anyway. And what we really want is people to come in, they eat, they drink, and out quickly. You know, so they have as many people as they can. Okay, no problem. So no pre-party. Then I thought, you know what? Let me just post something online because there's going to be KISS fans there anyway. So I said, listen, there's going to be a gathering there. I'm going to be there around 4 o'clock. If you see me, come say hi. But then online, I was hearing people calling this a pre-party. They kept on saying, no, it's not a pre-party. It's just a gathering because people are going to show up anyway. Just come say hi if you see me. But it's not a pre-party. The manager is going to kill me. But people continue to call it a pre-party. So then I went to the Old Orchard the night of the show, spoke to the manager. I go, listen, this is what happened. Everybody thinks this is a pre-party. It's going to be busy. He goes, it's usually busy anyway. No. This is going to be insane. He goes, okay, listen, as long as people come in, eat and drink, no problem. And then he gave us our own spot in the front of the tavern, which was fantastic. So it turned out to be an official pre-party anyway. And that was such a highlight for me because, you know, seeing people coming from different parts of Canada and the U.S., meeting familiar faces, having a drink with people, taking pictures, you know, what a great start to the KISS concert event in Canada. And, you know, Claudia, you can talk more about this later on. But before that, we went to a restaurant to basically kick off the festivities the night before. Mm-hmm. I also did the sound check. And Megan, I agree with you. I went to over 70 shows and it doesn't get old. You know, seeing that stage completely lit up, we've never actually seen it like that. You know,
No. It's
completely lit up. Everything is on. You're the only people in the entire stadium. And it's like, this is all for you in a sense, you know? And, you know, Doug was saying how he was dancing and everything. I was one of those people. I was like, I was completely, completely overwhelmed, just trying to take everything in. And I took some pictures and took some videos. But oftentimes people are like, Pask, are you there? No, because I was taking all that in. It was just so overwhelming. So Montreal was really go, go, go. And I found Quebec a lot more subdued for me. After the sound check, we met a couple in line for the sound check from Saguenay. Such an awesome couple. Then we met them again at the restaurant in the venue, and we just spoke for over 2 hours. It was so nice. And then I went to that particular concert alone. So basically, I sat up in the section 101, two sections away from the stage, up against a wall on top. I just basically sat back and watched the show. I had a whole bunch of old people around me. None of my friends were around me. Nobody I knew were around me. So I didn't really rock out. But like the sound check, I was there just absorbing everything. I danced away the first night. The second night, I just took it all in.
Took it all.
And I could only imagine what would have happened in Ottawa, man. Just imagine.
Oh, yeah.
All right. But more about that later. Claudio, how about you?
Well, you know, for all intended purposes, you know, my plan was to actually to be with you, Pask, and, you know, and Doug and other people at the Old Orchard. But just a couple of days before the show, a friend from other country came home, and he's kind of well connected with the band and stuff. And then I was really fortunate to have all access, you know, passes for Montreal at the beginning. And then, I was able, that was the a once of a life experience for me. I had never had the chance before to be, when KISS plays big venues like this, I could never get, sound check passes or meet and greets and that kind of stuff. And the fact that it happened in Montreal, it was really special for us. And then it was a dream come true. I concur with you guys, what you say about the sound check. I couldn't believe it when I got into the venue and seeing those lights, and being up front there watching what Paul and Gene were doing. The sound, I find the sound was so amazing on the sound check. Nothing to do with, there's other acoustic stuff and when the venue is packed. But I couldn't believe it. It was like being on the Sail Away show, the cruise, but on steroids. It was amazing, really amazing. And then, of course, having the chance to be backstage, that was also a dream come true for me. So I the fact that it came right at the end of the career and being able to experience that, behind the scenes, seeing what's happening before the big show, seeing, I don't know, Tommy walking by or Eric and the crew, they were also, so nice to us, to people. And then again, I don't want to speak a lot about myself, but I was really fortunate to get the picture taken with the band. The second night in Quebec City, same thing, but what made it even more special is that I went with my daughter. And my daughter, she had seen the band many times, but the big shows, never been able to be with the band or backstage. And also we did a sound check and all the stuff, and it was really special. It was really special. But I have to say, perfection doesn't exist. I could have really loved to be with you guys at Old Orchard, with Doug, with you, with Melanie, with the friends that I made up here in Canada, and sharing those special moments before the show. But that was a really cool moment, to have the chance. To me, the cherry on the pie, could have been to share that, and let me take the opportunity to say this live pass to share that with you in Ottawa. Being able to have the sound check with you and have the all access and all of that, but we know what happened, so it got canceled, and that was really a bummer. But we will try to make it up in New York. So
no, absolutely, and we went to Weinstein and Gavino's on the Friday before.
Yes.
So that really set the stage for the rest of the weekend.
Weekend. Yeah.
And Javier came from Kiss Army Spain. Yeah. And that was hilarious because he met some Parisian guy who was coming to Montreal to see the Kiss show, never met him before, and invites him for supper with us. So we got this, it's like, who's this guy?
Yeah.
But hey,
he's an international Kiss Army member. That's how it goes.
That's it. Right. We're all the Kiss Army. We're all family. Know Kiss right away. We have something in common, something to talk about. We're best of friends.
Yeah.
But Claudio, to reiterate what you were saying, Doug, as my witness, I remember when I went to see you guys at the Bell Center when you were waiting in line for the sound check. And it's like I saw the excitement of people going into the sound check. It's like, I'm not going to the sound check. What the hell's the matter with me? And like, that hurts. That really hurts. And when I went to the pub, I signed up and bought the sound check right away because I had to experience that, But sound check or not, VIP package or not, like I was telling Doug, right. I really wish I was able to spend more time and share this with you.
Yeah, same
here. And I we're going to make up for this in New York. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Okay. So now back to the concert now. Before Kiss even comes on, the opening act, Crownlands. So I'm curious, what are your thoughts on the band and the music? We'll start with Mark S. first.
For me, I really enjoy them. I mean, I don't know, being a cynical musician, for sure, it's kind of tough nowadays you really try and find something that's original. I like how those guys wear their influences on their sleeve. I thought they sounded great. I didn't get a chance to really see them all that much in Edmonton, but I did take in their show in Winnipeg, and I thought they were a solid band. I would like to see them. I know Megan's husband introduced me to them and has followed them whenever they come to Winnipeg. I'd like to see them in a smaller venue. I think that would be like in one of our, you know, 300, 400 capacity clubs. I think that would be cool to see them in that setting as well. But nowadays it's, and I don't know if anyone else seems to think the same way, but nowadays it's really tough to find like true rock bands. I find it, just in music, like bands that are going to be around for 10 years, 20 years. They might get one chance, one record, if that even exists anymore. And then they kind of end up doing something else. But obviously the Rush influence was really cool. It was nice to see a band before Kiss instead of, and no offense, but instead of a painter still brings to me the idea of a rock show, right? Like when I go to see a concert, I want to take in that vibe and that atmosphere of I'm going to a rock concert and not like a family entertainment event, even though Kiss is now family entertainment, which is totally fine. But it just, you don't want to feel like it's a rock show, you know, and have that electricity and that vibe. And you want to get pumped up from a band before instead of watching somebody paint. I mean, no disrespect, but that's how I feel.
Right. Okay. Mark W.
You know, so I'm a kind of guy who likes to be entertained by music rather than impressed. They're very impressive musicians, you know, and they obviously are following that sort of Rush recipe, if you will. And they're very good at what they do. Is it something that I would go out on my own to see or seek out afterwards? Not necessarily. I was very happy though that there was a Canadian band, you know, that they had a Canadian band opening. I thought that was great. But on the other flip side of that, we know that was at the sacrifice of potentially seeing Amber Wild, I'd like to think that wasn't a financial decision necessarily, but I know there was just in the last couple of years, there were changes made to the performance legislation in Canada that you have to pay crazy tariffs to perform here. So, you know, it could have come down to any number of reasons, but I liked what they did. I was not planning to see them again in Ottawa and Toronto. I was going to sort of do more of the camaraderie things with the Kiss fans prior to.
Right. Okay. Megan?
Well, as Mark had mentioned, Swatsky, my husband's been a fan of theirs for quite a while. So their music is on the loop in our house. So I actually was really looking forward to seeing Crownlands, and my kids like them too. Now, what was super cool is watching them, both my kids play bass. And it wasn't until the bass solo started that they got really into it, that they were all watching it. But I really did. I appreciated the Canadian band. Mark, I didn't know about the tariff thing. So, because I was wondering why Amber Wild was still doing these after show concerts, supposedly. And so they were on the road with Kiss, but they weren't opening for them. So that would be interesting if that was the reason why. But no, I quite enjoyed them. I thought the set was pretty short, though.
Yeah, it's like 30 minutes.
Yeah, it wasn't long at all. So, and they were doing most of their acoustic or their, you know, the non-vocal stuff. And I know when Dave's seen them at the smaller venues is that they fill that stage for two people, really, like incredible musicians. They fill the stage and they fill the air with their music. So I was really impressed. I like them. I'd love to see them again. My husband's seen them. And he actually wore a Crownlands t-shirt to the concert. So So that was his thing. But yeah, like I wouldn't have minded seeing Amber Wilde, but you know, and I was hoping to see Amber Wilde after, but you know, that was a bit of a mess too. So
Doug, how about you?
I can agree completely. I was looking forward to Amber Wilde just to see Paul's son do the show. I look, I'm a musician as well, and I enjoyed Crown Lands for what they were doing. I thought what they were doing was really quite extraordinary. I loved that the guy was running the keyboard on his feet. Like he had the pedals to run, to play keyboard with his feet. And he was running loops and the way they were making it huge. The time signatures, like you guys are drummers, like there was nothing in 4/4. The whole thing was just odd time signatures everywhere. And I'm like, that's fascinating. That's really interesting. But it kind of, I was like, I enjoyed it, but it didn't move me. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really cool, like super cool from a musician, from an analytical point of view, sitting there listening to the music, trying to figure out what they're doing, how they're doing it was awesome. But to get into it, I wouldn't seek it out. If they came to Montreal, I wouldn't run, go see a show. But to see them before is much more enjoyable than the painter. And I got to share it with my kids too, to tell them like, look, the guy's got a bass on the bottom and a guitar up top, right? And we're pointing all this stuff out. And I'm like, look what he's doing with his feet. He's playing those low notes with his feet. And my kids are like, what are you talking about? I'm like, what's going on? So it was fascinating. They were, and they're very, very, very good. They're very good. But it didn't grab me and move me. But I thought they were very good, and I enjoyed them. And as you know, Pask, the couple that we met, that you met in line at VIP on in Quebec City, we hung out with them.
Yeah,
when Crown Lands played in Quebec City, so we didn't go in to see Crown Lands. We spent time socializing with our new friends from the Saguenay-Lac Saint-Jean.
Yeah,
who were awesome, yeah. And the other couple that were sitting right there who we met on the site, and just talking to people at the venue, which was great.
Yeah, that's the best.
It was wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. Claudia?
Well, I didn't have the chance to see the band both nights, Montreal and Quebec. Even though I could listen to their set, you know, from backstage, I had listened to the band before, and I liked them, so that's why I wanted to see them live. But I didn't have the chance. Again, I guess you guys just said it all. So very, really impressive, you know, musicianship, kind of a Rush, you know, big influence in there. But again, I'm with Mark W on this one. When it's an opening act, I like to be entertained, you know, with all this you know, great way of playing music and all of that. To me, I pretty much prefer to put on a record or listen to the music, you know, at home. But when it's live, I am expecting something more than impressive music, right? So, but I think I agree also with Marquez, you know, it's much better than seeing a painter or something. You know, if it's all about music, it's way, way better. But you know, I couldn't say much. It sounded great from the back, but yeah, maybe if I have the chance to see them again, I'll give it a try. Yeah. Pasco, what about you?
You know, when Crown Lands was announced, I looked them up on Spotify. I listened to some songs, and I really didn't like it. Sorry, I'm not a big Rush fan, and it's a huge Rush influence there. It sounds so much like them. It's so technical that it's not, for me, that it's not fun. You know, Let Loose. And no, it's just so precise. Now, I definitely love the musicianship. I appreciate the musicianship, of course. But you know, it's not entertaining to me. It's technical, you know. And yes, it's a half hour set. But in that half hour, if the band rocks, it could really move you. When we saw Thunder Mother open for the Scorpions, I bought their albums right after their show. Yeah. You know, they were just incredible, and it really got us started for Scorpions. You know, this band. No, I'm sorry. It didn't do it. I didn't feel like getting on my feet and rocking out with these guys. Oh, again, mm-hmm. I appreciate the musicianship. Didn't move me at all. Sorry.
There you go. So let's move on. Megan, I'll start with you. So what about your concert experience? So you've seen KISS so many times, you know, including all of the cruises and all of that. So what do you think about the set list, the stage production, the highs and lows? So what did you like? If there's something that you didn't like, I'll start with you.
Well, I love that stage. Out of all the KISS stages I've seen, I've got to say, I love it. I love those pods. They actually have a bit of a life of their own. I know the monster stage was kind of fun too, because it looked like a giant spider, but really this is the second time that I've seen it with the pods, and I think it's a different stage than even what we saw back in 2020. But I mean, it was spectacular. I just love how it just, even the stage itself has its own personality. And I know in the past they talked about the KISS sign having its own personality in past shows, but that's what I felt that the stage really did. I mean, the set list, it is what you're going to expect. It's not changing much. I was happy to see Making Love in there. That's a great song. Personally, though, I would have rather have seen, if they were wanting to do something with Rock and Roll Over, I would have rather seen Mr. Speed or Take Me, something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. I know I Want You is not in the cards anymore with Paul's voice, unfortunately. And so, you know, I knew what to expect. I always love surprises. That was part of the reason why I always like going to the cruises anyway, is because I wanted those surprises. So, you know, I thought that they sounded great. I thought they were doing, you know, everything on there. I did notice Gene sort of wander back and forth backstage. And I've heard some commentary online that, you know, in Quebec City and Montreal, that he was taking some rests, and we were on Gene's side. And I kind of noticed that as well, that Gene was kind of going to the back a fair number of times. But I thought Paul sounded great, or the tracks sounded great, whatever you want to make of that, whether it's supporting or whether it's all there, it seemed to be working. So the one thing that disappointed me about it was, and again, having seen the set many times, during Do You Love Me, they would have that video montage in the back. And we've seen that on the cruise, and we saw that in the earlier concerts of the End of the Road, is that those earlier ones had video footage going all the way through their career. So you had little tributes to Eric Carr, and you had, you know, some of the 80s video and all that kind of stuff through there. And I noticed that wasn't there. I was waiting for it, and it just seemed to go to the Cadillac, and then that was it. So that was one thing that I noticed. I was a bit disappointed with that. But honestly, I mean, it was an amazing show. You were just, you know, from start to finish, it was a KISS show. There will be no other like it. And absolutely. So it was, you know, an assault on the senses in the very best way. And I loved every minute of it.
Good. Great. And Megan, let me ask you before we move on to Mark, you know, the last couple of days we've seen, you know, news of, you know, cancellation in Ottawa, then Toronto, and most likely in Knoxville. So that's a really, you know, low for what's happening, you know, with fans, you know, waiting to see the band for the last time. What's your take on it? So we all, you know, if it's health related, of course, you know, whether it's for any of the members of the band, of the crew, we know we all suffer. What's your take on this? What do you think it's going to happen, or what do you think it's happening now?
Well, I mean, health is the most important thing. You know, I feel really bad. I mean, we were exceptionally lucky in Winnipeg that we got to see them, and getting to see them in Montreal and Quebec City, lucky as well. I feel terrible for everybody in Ottawa and in Toronto. But I mean, Paul's not going to not do a show just because he's got a sniffle. You know, those guys are consummate professionals, and they'd have to be pretty sick. We did actually, when we were in the sound check, we did meet the band's doctor. He came running down because I guess he knows Brent and Todd. And so, you know, they do have a doctor with them and making sure that everything's okay. Mm-hmm. But, you know, honestly, I mean, I got sick after, you know, a few days afterwards. And so, you know, I got COVID. First time I've ever had COVID. Oh. It appeared 3 days after the show. Bang. You know, you think about the meet and greets that they do. You think about the, like, there were like 2 days between Saskatoon and Winnipeg, so it was a rest day. Then there were a couple of days between Winnipeg and Montreal, a couple of rest days. But those shows that you guys had in Quebec and Ontario were just bang, 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 bang. No downtime whatsoever to rest. So, I mean, I feel terrible for you guys that missed the shows, but, you know, you got to know that they're not going to do it. I wonder if they're going to, if the shows are going to be canceled all the way through to New York.
Yeah.
And whether or not those meet and greets and that kind of stuff are going to go forward, because, you know, you can't control people, right?
Yeah,
so that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, that's a big question. Thank you. Mark W., again, so a concert experience, you know, set list, highs and lows. What do you think about these cancellations and all of that?
I think, so the set list, I think the... You know, we're going to be the most critical group in the set list because we're going to be the people that are looking for the deep cuts and all of that. I think they did a tremendous job of trying to cover, you know, all the eras as best they can and do a good representation. And I really have no complaints whatsoever about the set list because that's what I was expecting. You know, I wasn't expecting a Cruise set list or a Kiss Unplugged set list or anything like that, because that's not what they're playing this tour for. The stage is ridiculous, and I've noted as well throughout that there's been, you know, some changes that have occurred, but I loved seeing Sam Serpent back. I love seeing the Cats come back, and I love the way that basically as that show flows, you know, there's an event every song or two. Of course, there's, you know, the pods coming down initially, but then you've got various times that different risers are going up. You've got the Breathing Fire, the Spitting Blood, the Flying Across, the Cherry Pickers coming down. It's just, I don't know how you could fit any more into that show. And when Pasquale talked about just kind of sitting back and taking it all in, I think that that's been the best part of being able to go to so many different shows, is that depending on my frame of mind, sometimes I've been glued to one particular member and watched, you know, Eric Singer all night, or I'm standing back and not looking at anything but the entire big picture and saying, holy shit, those mannequins start, or, you know, those inflatables start 180 feet to my left, and then they go another 180 feet to my right. It's just massive, you know, the production level. And the fact, I don't know, and maybe somebody on the line does, but I assume they've got to have a leapfrogging production because there's, you know, there's just so much work to that, and the precision is insane.
Do you any lows, any kind of things that disappointments and actually I'm going to ask you the same question as Megan. So what do you think about what's happening now with this, you know, health issues with Paul, and what might happen in the near future?
Well, first thing, Paul, if you're listening, which I know you're not, we all wish you the best and hope you make a speedy recovery. And thank you from the bottom of our hearts for everything that you've contributed to our lives for the last 50 years. Get well soon. But since you're not listening, I'll answer the question. And I think that obviously first and foremost is their health. For selfish reasons, I was like, I don't care what's wrong with you. Take some Gravol, take some Imodium, put some makeup on and get up there, you know? but like you say, there's so much at risk. And I don't think that they have the opportunity to kind of really pull things back from New York yet. So everything I understand from a business continuity point of view right now is to make sure those New York shows happen. And if that means they have to sacrifice some of these along the way for his wellness, then that is what it is. It's a business decision, and they're a business first and foremost. Mm-hmm. So I understand that. I do think that they have a succession plan and they've got a member ready to go, you know, for the future. They've probably got people in mind for future Paul Stanleys and future Gene Simmons already. And I think if it was Eric or Tommy, we may have actually seen a sub in that night. And then continue on. Like if you go back, you know, it was, I think it was on the reunion tour when Eddie Cannon sat in
for Peter
for one night, or the farewell tour perhaps. You know, and they played the show previously without Paul when he had his tachycardia episode, you know, 10 years or whatever that was ago. Disappointed, but I understand every bit of it. And, you know, the worst part of it is for me is it's definitely, it's not a rebooking of that show. It's a cancellation.
It's a cancellation.
Unless, and I don't want this to happen, but if their health is affected to the point where they have to cancel New York, then I think there's a pretty good chance they'll rebook those last eight shows. But, you know, if they're back on in the next day or two, then we don't have a chance of seeing them again, other than you folks going to New York.
Okay. Doc?
Yeah, I was thinking Brent Fitz would be the only guy I can think of who could step right in. I don't know if you're going to get a spaceman ready, you know, at this point. I think they're focused on what they're doing now to put these shows together. And just to keep where you were, Mark, I think they canceled Knoxville for tomorrow. I think they're going to cancel everything up to New York City. Everyone rests. Everyone gets healthy. They do the two shows, and then
that's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
What's between Knoxville and New York?
I think Indiana, isn't it? Indianapolis?
Is it just one or two more shows?
There's four shows, I think.
Oh, wow.
Between.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's four shows. Yeah. Knoxville there's four and shows. Three more. Yeah.
Indiana.
Like in the next 9 days.
Rosemount, Baltimore.
And Baltimore.
Yeah.
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 Well, if they do plan to do, you know, if that is a possibility, I would like just for them to rip the Band-Aid off for everybody's sake.
Cancel them all, yeah.
Cancel them all. You know, I know that they made the effort to make Toronto happen and stuff like that. But like I say, you know, it really added 2 days to my trip and all of that stuff. And I'm certainly not the only person that's been inconvenienced to that level, right?
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, from what you guys saw, the email that I posted on the Kiss Army Nation, that was from Doc. I was dealing with Doc himself, then he passed me to his assistant with regards to the Dubai and then the compensation with the sound check. So I had emailed Doc, and then the day after Ottawa was canceled, I said, well, why not? I'm going to email Doc. So I did, and I expressed, you know, our concern for the health of the band. And I mentioned in my email that, you know, we got friends who are starting to drive to Toronto. Communication at this point isn't really important. And then when Doc emailed, I posted it on the group, and Doc said that things are looking up, and we hopefully will be doing the show tonight. Yeah. So, and that's from Doc McGee. I was kind of blown away that he actually answered me that morning, but hey, that's, you know, it's his email. And, they were legitimately trying to put those shows together for the fans who were going,
you know, for them to cancel Toronto, that's big. Mm-hmm. Like you think about the number of people that probably had meet and greets. That was the last Canadian show.
Yeah.
It would have been huge. I mean, on a Canadian level, it's kind of like canceling New York. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people coming internationally too. So that's, I don't think they do that stuff lightly.
No. So I, and on that note, I think that I wouldn't be surprised if they pulled the plug for the next week. Cause we leave for New York tomorrow. A week tomorrow, right? A week tomorrow is New York. So I wouldn't be surprised if they take a week off right now to let everybody rest and recover and do the shows in New York.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Doc, on the right. Positive. So, how was your you know, I'm really interested in getting to know how did you you know live the show with Melanie, with the kids, you know, in Montreal, and so what was your experience? You know, having
it was Claudia, it was great. Yeah, seeing it with our young kids was fantastic. they were sitting in the seats, and the Melanie has a video of me and the two kids. We're all singing. We're all like sitting there singing. Nice. We had pretty good seats in the 200 level, but we were blocked by the stupid disco ball, which was unfortunate for our view of the stage. And where we sitting in 200s, if you stand up, the back of the seat of the person behind you is like in your shins. Uh-huh. So there's serious vertigo. Like there's nothing to stop you from flopsing over into the next row. We were second row in the 200s. So we spent that show sitting down, except for the last two tunes, except for, you guys, the last second, last song, I Was Made for Loving You. It was not Do You Love Me? Yeah. They switched the set around.
Yeah.
They did Do You Love Me from the second stage.
Second stage.
Yeah. Which was awesome. And we told, when Pats and I were talking with Keith LaRue in line for the VIP, I told him, I said, what you guys did yesterday was amazing. And he said, we're trying something new. And the way they switched the set I Was Made was at the end. And they did the Cherry Pickers coming out for Do You Love Me with Eric and Gene singing with in the middle of the arena with Paul and doing Do You Love Me, Paul on the second stage. And it was just like, I told Keith, like, dude, if you want feedback, it was amazing. And he looked at me and said, I'll tell them. I was just like, oh, I wow. swooned. Like I swooned. And then they did it in the set. They did it in the set that night too,
yeah.
Which they weren't sure if they were going to do because during sound check, I went to the in Quebec City, I went to the sound guy and I was talking to the sound man. And I said, are you guys doing that? Are you doing the Do You Love Me? From the second stage tonight. And they looked and they said, we're not sure. We don't have the set yet. We don't know if that's happening tonight as well. And they did do it that night. So, but seeing it with the kids was remarkable. It was amazing. We all had such a great family experience. They loved it. To share it with the kids is, I mean, it's a family it's memory immense. That will take forever, which was crazy. Such a good time. With the kids. And then in Quebec, we were lower. We were fourth row, right at Paul's stage. So we were looking out Paul's stage, and then the stage was there, and we were fourth row. So we didn't know we were so far down. And my God, those seats were incredible. We couldn't really see the pods. The first three times we saw End of the Road, so twice in 2019, and then the night before, we were up higher. So you could sort of see the pods. Mm-hmm. But being fourth row, it was stunning. It was absolutely stunning to see this. Like, I would just be like, holy shit, get my camera, get my phone out. Ooh, okay, got it. And then, like, rock out. And then, like, the next montage of lights, I'm like, holy shit. And, like, just every picture I took is, like, unbelievable. They're stunning. So the stage itself was breathtaking. Absolutely breathtaking to see it from down low like that. On the Ottawa show, we were sitting front row at Paul's stage. Like this, we were right on the aisle, so we were on the floor to see this anyway. So that's kind of a little bit
heartbreaking.
But whatever. It was great. The confetti was everywhere. It's, you know, it was a KISS show, but it was. I'm compared to you guys, I've only seen around 15 shows. So compared to you guys, it's not the same number, but it's got to be, like, other than on the cruise, it's got to be the greatest,
the best
show from being the point of view in that stage and that setup, and everything was breathtaking, like from start to finish. With the kids, we sat and we boogied in our seats, and then we stood up for I Was Made and Rock and Roll All Night, and that was it. But right when Rock and Roll hit in Quebec City, my wife and I were standing up. We didn't sit down for the whole show. We just kept going, and we were dancing and taking pictures and just loving it. Just getting all the juice from that fruit, you know, in that juicer. We were getting the pulp, and we were going through the rind, and then it's going into your skin. Like we were getting every moment of that. I filled a big Ziploc bag full of confetti. Like I stuffed it full of confetti to take home to make those dollar store Christmas balls that are empty. I put them in it, and I give to some friends, and like, I nice. Like, and it turns out that was the last show of Canada you know, and I'm glad that we did that and just enjoyed every moment. It was exhausting, but it was a great, great show.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Marques, what was your experience like?
The Edmonton show, I managed to sit in the 100 section, just maybe like one section away from the stage and about five rows up. So I got a little bit of a different perspective of the concert just because I could see more of the stage, which was cool. Like I caught some things, like when the cats rose up, I think it was during Eric's solo. You could actually see more of the Sammy Serpent. You could catch more of all the lighting effects and whatnot. So that was a really cool experience. I always said, given the opportunity, and sometimes in Canada, as you guys would know, like it's not like you can drive from like Winnipeg to, let's say, even Saskatoon. That's the shortest distance, and you got 8 hours. So if you want to take in five shows, that's quite a distance you're traveling. And it's, for me, it's got to be during summer holidays for that to happen. So yeah, like I always typically get tickets close up. Of course, in Winnipeg, I was fifth row. So it was a different perspective, much closer, much more intimate. So there was a lot of stuff happening. And I was like, okay, now I'm going to see this happen from this end of the stage. But to be honest with you, I missed a lot of it because I was so focused on one member at one time that when these things were happening, you couldn't catch it out of the corner of your eye. But again, just a totally, totally different and unique experience. Of course, the stage is the stage. It's huge. It's what KISS is. It's big. I mean, that's what they do. They don't do anything on a small scale. Even when they do smaller shows, they still pack as much as they possibly can onto whatever stage they can play on. So as far as that goes, I mean, the pods are unique. The change in staging from the first shows that I seen back in 2020 was interesting because they added some of those props, and that, I don't know how to describe it, but that whole line in front of the drum riser that sort of forms that triangle that looks like, yeah, like spikes or whatever, that was just cool to see that they didn't just go traveling with the same stage for the last X number of years, that they tried for these last 50 shows to even step it up one more notch. As a drummer geek, I'm just going to say, I really would like to find out what happened with Eric's original kit that he took out, because all those toms were concert toms and he changed them all back to double-headed toms. I mean, I know concert toms don't necessarily sound as great and whatnot, but in today's world with audio technology, you could probably make them sound fairly decent. So I would have liked to get the spin on that. Maybe he just couldn't get the sound on stage that he would have liked to with a double-headed drum. But
let's get... answer to that, Mark.
Sure.
I was talking to Billy Baker, who, as you probably know, has made his drum kits for the last several tours.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He initially, with that concert tom set, it was a tip of the hat to Peter Criss from the old Love Gun kit. And yeah, that was the sort of the intention around the concert toms, and both the stick response and the tone he just wasn't a fan of. So after that first short run of the first leg, he had them just made into double-headed toms. And right, then I was kind of disappointed to see that mirror kit go altogether, and he seems to be moving towards more vintage kits. But what's interesting is I've been after Pearl drums, like every 6 months I bug them and say, you know, when are you going to come out with a green set of Crystal Beats? Because I've wanted to have a green set of drums just as a tip of the hat to Peter Criss for years. And you may or may not know, but they've just recently come out with them. So I ordered a kit. Yeah, I ordered a kit just before I actually came on these shows. And I sent a message to Billy Baker, and he said they were trying to get them for the New York shows. He said, but it's been impossible. There was a fire in Japan at the factory, and therefore they're not going to have them. But it was the intention for him to have a full green Crystal Beat kit for the final two New York shows.
That would have been cool.
So that's a little bit of drum history, but follow Billy Baker on Facebook if you're not already doing so. He's got crazy Kiss stuff in his feed. It's really fantastic.
Yeah, for sure. The set list is what it's going to be. It was a good representation of the band. I like the fact also as well that they added Making Love, but they also changed it up. They did that little like Psycho Circus going into the drum solo and then coming out with 100,000 Years.
Yeah,
so there that was good.
Like it wasn't the, I mean, I guess the haters are going to say, yeah, it's the same set list, but it wasn't, right? There was the Tommy and Paul guitar duo, which was cool, which I think also shortened Tommy's actual guitar solo, which that's fine. But there was some changes, some notable changes that at least I didn't feel like I was going to see the same set list that I seen X number of years ago. Mm-hmm. Like high points. I mean, I'm just glad that I got to see it one last time. I'm glad that they came to Winnipeg because, to do the Western provinces in Canada, especially the Prairie provinces, it's very, very hit and miss on their tours. And, I don't know, possibly Megan can speak, for this as well, but we just kind of thought that they weren't going to come here. So when Canada, at least those provinces, ended up being in the very last, you know, 15 shows of the band's career, it's kind of like how they started out, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So that was kind of, whether it was intentional or not, that was a cool, you know, tip of the hat to where it all started. Lowest point for me, I would say, is was the guy standing in front of me because he was taller than me, so I had to constantly
welcome to my world.
You know, that's the chance you take, and it is what it is, and you know, as long as everybody was having fun, I think that's the main point. And I think also too, looking around, like I saw this one little kid, she was on her dad's shoulders. She didn't even have any earplugs in. I mean, I felt bad because I'm like, holy cow, I've got earplugs in. But she had her little cat ears on and Peter Chris, or sorry, Catman makeup. I don't know even what's the politically correct thing to say these days. But her T-shirt that she had on was the vintage iron-on from the Love Gun photo shoot with like that weird sort of hologram background.
The Mylar
background.
Yeah.
And it was on a blue T-shirt. And I was, the kid was sitting like four or five seats to my left. And I was like, I had that shirt on a blue T-shirt. Like, what are the chances? So it was, so, you know, those kinds of things. And she was like in
Did
it,
you get it
right
back?
To the very end. Sorry?
I had that in yellow.
Did you get it back?
Yeah, no, unfortunately I didn't.
Hey, kid, that's my shirt.
Yeah, my mom sent that to the Salvation Army when I was 8 years old with my
consent. Oh, so, God. Yeah.
That's interesting, Mark, that you mentioned the medley, because I didn't, there's one thing I wanted to comment about the set, because the set's the set. I love it. But I wanted to hear all of Psycho Circus. I wanted to hear all of 100,000 Years. The fact that they were cut short, especially Psycho Circus from Kiss Cruise 10, it was the Psycho Circus cruise, and it, the theme was that, and he came and they opened the shows with that, and it was just, it's such a, it moves me, that song. And I saw the Psycho Circus tour, you know, and then they the way they cut it short, I was like, what are they doing? And then, okay, the drum solo is super. I love Eric's drum solo. And they come into the, do you feel all right out of 100,000 Years? And I'm like, well, where's my whole
rest of the song.
Yeah, I was like, did they play 100,000 years? Is that, wait a second. Did they start it? It's like
25,000 years. they're shortchanging us there. And I would have loved, is the Consumers Distributing drum set that you got when you were a kid called Satin Steel?
Yeah. Maybe. I have a picture of it.
I had that kit when I was,
but I remember it.
Yeah, I had that when I was a kid. I played along with Alive, the Peter's drum solo from that on this kit that I had to keep putting tape on because I ripped the skin. It was just masking tape. My drums were just freaking masking tape. And for 100,000 years, an 8-9-year-old. So when they didn't play the whole thing, I was a little like, oh man, damn. You know, I love that tune. Sorry to interrupt, but that medley, I felt shortchanged.
It would be cool, you know, if we had our way, they'd be up there for 4 hours too.
Let's do it. So, New York City.
And you know, which is sort of then getting into the whole situation of Paul falling ill. I mean, most, like you guys have all said, those guys don't cancel because somebody's got, you know, a hangnail. It is pretty clear in the entertainment business how many people just cancel because, I don't know, they stub their toe or whatever we call a lame excuse. Like, so for these guys to pack in two shows and maybe more, Paul's sick and the guy's 71. I know what my grandfather looked like at 71. I know what my dad looked like at 71. I went to the, when we went to the sound check thing, I just looked at Paul and I'm like, I want to look like that.
Yeah, when I'm 71. Exactly.
If I can look that good at 71, I'm winning. No. So, but you know, what presents on the outside, I mean, it's a 71-year-old guy on the inside and, you know, everyone, we all know, we all have our expiry dates. So, you know, best of health to the guy, but you know, I think we still would like to at least have him around for a few more years and or at least another 10, 15 years. If the guy could just kick around, I think it would be great. His health is of the utmost importance, as the rest of them are. And I mean, again, you know, like those entertainers that I talked about canceling shows, that's also coming from people who are in between 25 and 30 years old,
exactly.
not 70 plus or in their late 60s. I don't know how they do it. They must have really good doctors or something, but you know, it's really impressive that they have that kind of stamina to keep going and just be able to do it still. Like it's really amazing. I think
it is. Thanks, Mark. Pask.
I've been anticipating these shows for a very long time, and I know it's coming to an end. And I know people are saying, "Oh, it's not going to be over. They're going to do more shows in 2024." I don't believe that for a second. December 2nd, it is over. So I want to experience this fully, absolutely fully. And I went in there full guns blazing. The Montreal show, man, it was go, go, go. I was on 4 hours sleep, nonstop, meeting people, rocking out at the show. The show itself was fantastic. The stage, it was mentioned, it was ridiculous. It was, you know, the laser show, very similar to Hot in the Shade. It was something else. You know, the stage where Paul flew, the lights that looked like the laser lights and Kiss Meets the Phantom, you know, that was really cool. And Doug, I liked the melody part. I thought that was something different. And I was on such a high after that, then going to Quebec City, experiencing the sound check, just incredible. Meeting that amazing couple. And in meeting that amazing couple, that's when I became a little bit introspective. I was thinking about, you know, the end and, you know, how much this band has afforded me. They've given me such an amazing life, so many once in a lifetime experiences. And, you know, with Kiss, my life has been at this level. it's never going to reach that level ever again. It might be a little bit lower, but I'll never be able to experience anything comparable to what we're experiencing now. And I was on such a high looking forward to Ottawa. And it's like, now I have a VIP package. This is going to be incredible. Finally, sharing this experience with you, Claudio. It's going to be amazing. And it was canceled. Doug was there. I was devastated. I wasn't that fan. Oh, freaking Kiss, man. They had to cancel. Absolutely not. At the time, we were at the sound check, and it was around 5 o'clock when we found out that it was canceled due to an illness. I was talking to a friend of Tommy Thayer, and she was saying that she was worried for Tommy. So I thought, ooh, maybe it's Tommy. And then later on, I heard that maybe it's Paul. I don't know. Whoever it was, I wish him the best of health. That's what matters. That's what matters the most. But, you know, I was running on fumes. I was running on adrenaline. And then when they canceled the show, the air popped out of my balloon. And I just crashed. And, you know, thank you, Doug and Melanie, for trying to make lemonade out of lemons.
We were making lemonade that night.
We went to the keg and we were consoling dinner. Each other. Other fans are coming to
and
us.
And other going fans to them. Kept walking in. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was something else. And I was totally quiet the entire night because, again, I was devastated, but I was also exhausted because I wasn't on that high. That natural high wasn't keeping me going anymore. And after supper, Doug, you want to go out and do something? I said, no, I'm going to go back to the hotel. And I went back to the hotel, man, and I fell asleep. I fell asleep. And that was one of the biggest lows in history that I've ever felt. And I'm saddened for the fans who missed Ottawa, who missed Toronto, who may miss Knoxville. Looks like it's going to be canceled from the point of this recording. And who knows what's going to happen, you know, between now and New York. Mm-hmm. But if New York happens, Claudio, you could damn well bet we're going to experience that to the absolute fullest. And make up for this, because it's going to be the last time. And I want this experience to stay with me for the rest of my life, because you know what? That's all I've got. It was strange. My girlfriend wanted to organize something on December 9th. We want to go to Plattsburgh and see Almost Queen, a Queen tribute. Amazing band, by the way. I didn't want to plan it. I didn't want to think we're doing something after December 2nd. How, right? How weird is that? But also, you know, after the show was canceled, they had us go to the merch booth to buy some stuff before we were let go. And there were a whole bunch of people at the door waiting to come in. No one told them it was canceled.
Yeah,
that was weird. So I was screaming through the door, it's canceled, it's canceled. They didn't believe me. No, I said, I'm not kidding, it's canceled. There was a guy there that recognized me. He's a friend of a friend. And he wanted me to buy him some merch because he was waiting in line for over 2 hours in the cold so he could buy those bomber jackets. And he gave me his credit card. He gave me his PIN. But he gave me a long list of things to buy. Well, I'm not going to remember all that, number one. And number two, I had this freaking security guard screaming at me, who do you think you are? You don't run this place. He can't be in here. I go, I asked permission if he can come in, only him, and buy his stuff. And if the answer is no, fine. But dude, chill out. There was a woman security guard that saw everything happen and felt really bad for this fan because she realized that he was out there for 2 hours. She took out a pen and paper, went out to see the fan, took down the laundry list of things that he wanted, came back to me, gave me the card and the list. I went to the merch booth and I bought him everything that he wanted. Oh, that guy blew close to $1,000. Okay. I went out there. I go, here you go. This is what KISS fans do for each other.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
So, despite everything that happened that night, something good came of it. You know,
of course.
I often tell my students when I'm in a bad mood or I'm not having a good day, I like doing something for somebody else. It always puts me in a good mood. And that did it for me. Doing something for that fan, you know, it was nice. It was nice. But man, New York, be careful. Because here we come, man. Here we come.
Here we come.
Claudia, what about you?
Well, it's pretty hard to follow up after what you said, right? So it's, well, you know, you guys just said it all. So a killer show. I was also impressed, as Mark was saying, about, you know, the lights and the new shape there under the drum set and, you know, the laser stuff. I also loved, remember a past that I told you when we were actually in the Montreal show, when Paul flies to the other stage, and all those blue lights, you know, go up. I was saying the only thing that I was thinking of is how fortunate we are to be Kiss fans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, we never stop and think about it. You know, I know that, you know, when you're a fan of a band, of course, you know, you're really into it. But, you know, Kiss has given us so much stuff, you know, and the spectacle and entertainment, musicianship, everything, you know, so many great experiences. I, you know, after seeing many shows, you might think that nothing's going to surprise you. Well, you know, let me tell you, that was a hell of a surprise for me, the Montreal show, you know, Quebec City 2. I love the fact that they played I Was Made for Loving You from the stage, you know, from the front stage. I love that. And that was something really neat in the Quebec show when they kind of made that mistake at the end of Deuce. You know, that was kind of a really interesting thing that happened. So that was pretty neat. And I've seen all four guys on, you know, in full speed. You know, Paul, you know, even though he might have felt, you know, ill the next day after the Quebec show. In Quebec, he was on fire.
You know,
he was amazing. The voice, mm-hmm. you know, everything was, you know, he was so hyped. So, I don't know, you know, again, all good memories. Set list, you know, what you guys said, you know, nothing else. I wasn't expecting any obscure or songs, you know, that we know what we're going to get. And, yeah, you know, it's always nice when, you know, I took the time to look around people as they were playing, because not all the people there were like diehard like us, and everybody was smiling, you know, and when you see people smiling during the show, that tells you something, right? So it's fun, it's entertainment, and you forget about everything else that is going in your life during those 2 hours. And that's what Kiss is about. So I'm so happy that we had the chance to experience that. And, you know, hope the best, you know, for Paul. At the beginning, I remember that there were rumors that it was Gene who was sick. Then it happened that it was Paul. Well, let's wish him, you know, a speedy recovery and to get back in full shape and give us those final shows, you know? So, yeah.
So, you know, after any Kiss concert, we're usually on a high, right? And we don't want to go home. We don't want to go home yet, do you? Absolutely not. So, you know, what did you guys do after the show? And it begs the question, you know, whether these shows in Canada were your final shows or the final shows in New York, whatever your final show is, what comes next for you? How will you continue to write your history? Doug, we'll start with you.
Right on. Well, Pasc, as you know, after the Quebec City show and Mark, we went to Restaurant Normandin.
Yes.
And punched our membership cards there. and just hung out, you know, talked Kiss, talked about the show, talked about the band, talked about our experiences with Kiss, talked about the cruise, because we'd all been on the cruise. My wife and Mark and Pasc and I were at Normandie, and we would all been on the cruise together last year. Mark, my wife, and I the year before as well. And yeah, just talked about Kiss, and it was great. It was a perfect way to end it. Really chill, nothing crazy, you know, a bit of food. Yeah, that was it. And as far as what's coming up, in a week, New York. And that's a huge thing. Like the letdown of Ottawa, and Mark, I guess for you, the letdown of Ottawa and Toronto was, you know, substantial. The Ottawa letdown, as it was for everybody. So we've sort of, now we're like, okay, 1 week to New York. So we're trying to put that, you know, what the missed opportunity there. And we're, I downloaded a subway map of New York today. We're going to start putting, this is our, where our Airbnb is, this is where this is. And then the New York map that KISS sent everybody with the different spots. And we're putting that together. We've just booked a table at the Hard Rock Cafe first after on the Friday night.
Nice.
At the same place as the party. But so we'll see, you know, we'll be there at the venue. And then I have Saturday after the show. I don't know what exactly is going on, but something's going to be going on.
Yeah.
And then Sunday night, Craig Gass is doing a night at a comedy club. He's got the club for the whole night. It's his, and that could end up being the sneaky hot ticket of the whole weekend. Oh. Is the Craig Gass show with the people who come by and see the show, and you know, might get on stage or might be in the audience. There's a lot of rumors going around, but we're just happy to have a table there. My wife and I are going to go do that. Walk around Manhattan. We're really excited for that. It's going to be an amazing weekend away with the final KISS show on the Saturday. That is just like, yeah, just, I can't even get my head around it, actually. Just like I couldn't get my head around the canceled shows, really. I can't really get my head around the last show either, but mm-hmm. that's coming up. We fly out a week tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it's super, super exciting.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mark W., how about you?
Well, what is there to do after except for hang with the KISS Army or the KISS Navy? That's equally as fun a part of the experience over the last number of shows, or all the shows I've been to over the last 40 years. That is every bit, the camaraderie is every bit as exciting in the aftermath that follows. I'm not seeing the other shows. Missing Ottawa and Toronto were unexpected, but my very last moment of my very last KISS concert was me catching a Catman balloon, you know.
Nice.
and having that, and as you know, I play Catman as Mark does in you know, well, we're one of the hottest tribute bands in Canada, and you know, it's just like, it was almost like, here's a gift from the heavens. You don't know it yet. You're not going to get to see your last concerts, but here's a gift from the heavens for you just to hang on to.
Very fitting. Nice. It's awesome.
Perfect. Super cool.
Like you say about turning lemons into lemonade, that's my lemonade, man. I just bang.
Yes, sir.
Look at that. Thank you. That was it. And, you know, it can't be anything more going forward. Like you all, I've got an extensive KISS collection. We'd like to get something on the East Coast of Canada. That's more of a commercial space, that, you know, would be a destination that we could have KISS conventions there, or, you know, music and stuff like that. So, I'm hoping that something like that will be come to fruition in the not too distant future. And if so, obviously we'll update you all here on it.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Very cool. Megan, how about you?
Well, after the show, so like I always seems like I'm always complaining about stuff, but with this thing. So we wanted to see Amber Wilde.
Hmm.
And so, you know, I've been hearing my friend Keith Doyle, he tried to go and see them in Edmonton. And he said that he went right after the show and got there and they were packing up. So I was already kind of concerned that we weren't going to be able to see Amber Wilde. So like it took us until like 10 after 11 to get into the parkade to get to our car. And then it took us until almost 11:30 to get out of the parkade. We had to drop the kids off at home and then zoom back to where Amber Wilde were playing. Winnipeg's not that big, so it's, and we live close to downtown, so it's, it, you know, we got there at about 11:45, and you know, we were hopeful, but we got to the bar where Amber Wilde was playing, and the security guard met us outside and said, "Are you here for the KISS after party?" And we said, "Yes." And he says, "Well, it's over, like they're done," and we're like, "Oh." Okay, it's 11:45, and he pointed to, there's this little sort of gathering gaggle of people off to the side, maybe about 10, and he said, "Yeah, that's half of the people that were at the show."
Oof.
So, you know, my thing is, like, I would have loved that, because think about after the Kiss cruise, right? When we'd all get out after the shows and there'd be a band playing and we'd be all revved up to go. So, like, and granted, our show was on a Wednesday, but it sounds like this was kind of the way that the Amber Wilde shows were operating, is they would be starting while Kiss was ending.
Was playing, yeah.
Yeah, which I thought was nuts. And just to throw in, like, it, that just personally, they could have built this huge following, I think, across Canada if they had started a little bit later, mm-hmm. and people going to that show in Vancouver, in Edmonton, in Calgary, in Saskatoon, in Winnipeg, and then on the way. So we tried, and you know, we debated going somewhere else. It's like, nah, I just want to go home and look at my pictures. Mm-hmm. So, you know, went home and did that, because I think, Mark, you had to work the next day. So, you know, we were in totally different parts of the arena. So we just, you know, went back home, and I think I made myself a margarita, pretended I was on the deck of the cruise, and you know, went through all my pictures and enjoyed that.
Did you drink it in a $17 cup?
You know, no, they were dollar store cups, so they were significantly cheaper than that. I'm afraid to put anything in those cups. But as far as what's next, like, Winnipeg's it. Winnipeg was it for me. I'm really, you know, I can't even tell you how much I'm grateful and thankful that we got that last show in Winnipeg, because, I mean, they, on this end of the road tour, that was going to be Toronto's third time, you know, and we hadn't seen them here in Winnipeg. So I was really, you know, really super grateful that we did get our last show. And that was my last show. I know I sort of stood there at the end going, wow, this is it. And thinking, okay, what's next? And it's like, okay, well, I still got all my CDs. The majority of times that I've seen Kiss, if I were to add them all up, were on the Kiss cruise. So really the number of times that they've actually toured near me to see them in concert, not a huge number. So, you know, Kiss will always be there. You guys will always be there. My memories mm-hmm. from the cruise will always be there. All the stuff I've got in the basement is still going to be there. Although maybe now I burn it all. No, I'm not going to burn it all.
I'll take it.
I'm not burning my Kiss stuff. So, it's going to be a little bit different. I mean, if they were kind of producing new material all the time, it'd be like, oh, that's too bad, it's the end of, you know, getting new Kiss music. Well, we haven't had new Kiss music in an awfully long time. You know, it would be nice to have some kind of a Kiss cruise in the future. I don't know. I think part of the appeal of the Kiss cruise is having international people. I can't see people coming from Australia and Europe and South America for, you know, just the guys, you know, and Soul Station and that kind of stuff. So, you know, for me, it's going to continue on, you know, keep on keeping on. They will always, you know, we'll have our Christmas tradition with the kids watching Kiss Meets the Phantom, and I'll, you know, go, wow, that's terrible. And then I'm very fortunate in that the Kiss cruise, I got to meet Mark Swatsky, and so we've become good friends, and so we get to hang out and Kiss geek out, and hopefully we'll still get to do that in the future. And I hope that, you know, there might be, I've heard some chatter about reunions of, like, Kiss cruisers, because we all are Kiss cruisers here. So you know, that was part of the appeal, is getting to see all the Kiss friends that we've made over the years. And so, you know, that's going to be tough, but I think, you know, fortunately with social media, I think we'll be able to keep in touch with each other. And, but yeah, the music, no one's taken my CDs. My CDs are still there. My DVDs are still there. There's YouTube, and there's all my stuff I can just sort of sit there and stare at and go, wow, what a ride it's been.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well said. Well said. Yeah. Marques, how about you?
After the show, like Megan said, my following day started with teaching a grade 7 band in first period. So, you know, Mr. Sawatsky doesn't want to be out super late doing tequila shots when he's got to worry about his front row clarinet section squeaking. So yeah, that I just basically ended up going home. As far as, you know, what's next, what's going to come next. I mean, much like everyone here said, there's always going to be something. Like, I'm sitting here talking to you from my KISS room, and there's always going to be vinyl to collect. Now that's sort of where my passion lies right now, instead of the trinkets. I'm not going to get rid of them. I'm going to have my 10 copies of, you know, the Peter Criss solo album, but maybe I've only listened to it 5 times in my life, you know. But if an 11th copy comes out and it's an alternate copy, I'm going to get it. It's still fun. It's still fun to be a KISS fan. Like Megan said, we were fortunate enough to meet each other, albeit we live blocks from each other, but we had to travel to, where was that KISS cruise that happened?
Well, that was the one that was it was Miami, but then it was in the middle of the,
right.
it was the grand, well, we went to Cozumel because that was KISS cruise too. And that was Sandy that we couldn't go to the beach. Remember?
Yeah. So yeah. You know, we had to travel how many kilometers to finally meet each other, but it was really cool to get to meet her and her husband and their kids and be part of their life. And, you know, holidays now are spent with them, because it's just my wife and I that are here in Winnipeg. We're going to get together for the December 2nd pay-per-view and watch it on the big screen here and have some margaritas and some nachos and enjoy ourselves and probably talk the whole night about KISS, because that's normally what happens when we get together, and that's what we always do. And you know, whenever we get together for, like, it's never Thanksgiving, it's like, you know, it's Thanksgiving dinner, but the topic is KISS, right? Mm. That's just how it is, and that's how it always will be. And there'll always be some kid that'll come up to me at my work and ask me about, you know, some of the posters that I have in my office or the, you know, my desktop screen, and, oh, you met them, and just interesting stories like that. So to share that kind of idea of being a fan and what it's meant to me for, what, like 45 46 years of my life. Mm-hmm. That's all of us. That's a big deal. I haven't had a relationship outside of that with my other family members for that long. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Claudia?
Well, what did we do? Well, remember after the Montreal show, we met up again, you know, you guys, you went back to the old Orchard stuff. Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. We all ended up in a high and wanted to do something else. So being a Saturday night, that was a great way to wrap up the day. A beautiful day, by the way. So that was fantastic. And then, after Quebec, I had to drive back. It was pretty late. I had to wake up really early the next morning for work, so I couldn't stay in Quebec City. And then what comes next for me in terms of KISS? Well, you know, you guys, you said it already beautifully. You know, Marquez, you just said it all. So a long commitment with this band. I have to say that personally, I feel myself very fortunate. I have to say that I had like two different lives. You know, I wasn't born here in Canada, so I moved to Canada about 20 years ago from Argentina. I used to have, and still, you know, most of my, well, all my family is still there. You know, most of my friends, you know, from the, you know, when I was a teenager, when I was a small, they're still there. And the one thing that actually made me connect with people here in Canada, with such a beautiful country and beautiful people here, it was KISS. So, you know, of course, we all go to work, we all do our stuff, you know, but what brings me joy, no matter where you live, and no matter which culture you're into, it's this band, right? So, and we experienced that in the show. So you met up with, in the cruise, you know, 33 countries, you know, and you connect right away. So, you don't need to break the ice. You just start chatting with people and you connect right away. So that's, I have to say that I'm not going to let that go, because that brings me happiness. And Having, you know, making this show, this project with you, Pask, it's a blessing. And that's how we're going to keep the flame alive, you know, of the band, you know, keep doing this, keep being connected with positive people, you know. We're not here to kind of criticize or complain or anything. We don't have time for that. So this is a time for celebration. And we're going to wrap up our band, you know, in the next coming days. But Kiss will live on. Kiss will live on.
Very true. Very true. No, for me, the this past weekend was just insane. Very, very little sleep. You know, after the Kiss concert on Saturday, like you said, we went to the Old Orchard. And after that, I offered Kevin Gangley to, if he want, because he's from Ontario, if he want to sleep over, he had the car at my place. He goes, no, I'll drive back. So we get back to my place. It's 1:30 in the morning. And he said, do you mind if I just hang around, just chill a little bit? Yeah, no problem. An hour later, it's 2:30 in the morning. Okay, Kevin, make up your mind. Come or go, because I am exhausted. I need some sleep. So poor guy ended up leaving at 2:30 in the morning. He didn't stay. But I woke up the next morning. It must have been what? After 3 or 4 hours sleep, drove to Quebec City, met Doug and Melanie at Normandin. And for the Americans who doesn't know Normandin, it's basically a Canadian version of Denny's. You know, that's yeah, basically what it is. And, you know, after that show, we went back to Normandin for a late night snack.
A different Normandin, though.
Yes, definitely. And got back to the hotel at 2:30 in the morning. And Mark, I know what you're talking about because I'm a teacher as well. I was in Quebec City, 3 hours away from my job. I basically went to the hotel, slept 3 hours, drove straight to work, and bang.
Oh, my gosh.
My first class. And that's, by the way, before, dude. And that's before I had to go to the dealership, drop off my car to get my new tires in, walk to school, and start my class. I was 3 hours sleep on fumes, man.
So
thank God. We were going on strike the next day, you know, the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So the kids only had the Monday, and we have a pet day on the Friday. So a lot of them skipped school because they wanted the whole 9 days. Thank God for that, right? So the kids that were there, I go, guys, there is no way I'm doing anything. I am exhausted. So we just talked Kiss. Did we talk Kiss?
The next generation.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we banned cell phones in the classroom. Not that day, man. Take out your phones. I'll show you my Kiss room. I'll show you. We were watching the podcast in class, Claudio. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
You know, showing them my collection, showing them my tattoo, and just talking Kiss. And I did that for three periods, you know. And then on 3 hours sleep, left for Ottawa, you know. It was just nonstop, just nonstop. And I could only imagine what New York is going to bring, you know,
with the
after parties and the pre-parties. It's going to be insane. But in terms of how we're going to continue to write history, I hope for me is that we maintain the connections with the Kiss fans. You know, in one way or another, Kiss will always be around. The music is always going to be there. The merch is always going to be there. We're always going to get new merch. That is not going to stop. And Mark, like you, I've also started collecting vinyl a lot more than my other Kiss stuff now. It's like I can't stop. What a rabbit hole. That's not going to stop. I will continue being in debt over Kiss merch. No, gladly. And, you know, I'm also looking forward to seeing where this show is going to go after December 2nd, and there's no stopping us, man. This is going to continue on for a very long time because there's always something to talk about. It's always fans to connect with. There's always fans to promote their projects, you know, promote history. And it's never going to end. And, you know, I think as long as we keep it in our hearts and we maintain these connections, it's going to last forever.
One of the sail away shows. I don't know if it was the one you were at, Mark. Sorry, not sail away, soundcheck. Jeez. Somebody asked Paul about the cruises, and Paul. It might have been Edmonton where they asked it, and Paul answered a great thoughtful answer about how, you know, they didn't, when they started the cruises, they didn't expect them to be anything. you know, and that they became such a huge thing for the community, the KISS community, and how people have met on the cruise and gotten married. Like that touched, you mentioned that, and how important it is to the fans and to the band. And it's on YouTube that he said that they want to keep doing the cruises.
Yeah.
And he said this last week. So I heard that, and it's awesome that all of us have been on the cruise, and that if we could in 2024 or 2025, whenever it is, get together and hang out for the sailaway show, whatever that would be, you know, perfect and beautiful and important, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what, Doug? In the Montreal soundcheck, he said it again. So one of the questions was if there were going to be more cruises, and he said, "Well, if KISS fans want more cruises, there will be more cruises." Wow. He didn't say when, or he didn't say if it was going to be with makeup or without makeup, but he said there will definitely be more KISS cruises.
Yeah. I think it's going to depend on what happens after December the 2nd. Yeah. I think there's something going down as far as who owns what.
Yeah.
You know, if they wanted to have those cruises, they would have had it. I'm a little skeptical, but that's just my nature. Mm. That I would love to see it. But I mean, Paul said it on the last cruise. You know, he says, "Yep, we're gonna have another one, and it's gonna be like Soul Station and Gene's Band, da 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 da." And like it hasn't happened. No.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's, I've interviewed enough politicians to say it's, you know, it's easy to say lots of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether or not things actually happen. And, you know, you're not going to say anything controversial, or you're not going to put, you know, the kibosh on anything in one of those, you know, sound check
DNAs
kind of things, right? I, like, again, don't want to be Debbie Downer, but like, you know, I'm hopeful that they do something, but I mean, if they were going to, wouldn't they have already? But that's just cynical me.
But they're doing the final 50. They're busy. Their business is doing that. It's something that they could work, and it takes a long time to prep something like that to work it. I see that as something that will come out of the dust settling after December 2nd, January, February, maybe to do in 2025. Yes. With Gene's band, with Soul Station, with Bruce's band, because that's kind of a deal breaker. Bruce's band being there, you know, the Talisman, what have you. But yeah, I mean, we're hopeful for that.
Yeah,
cautiously optimistic.
but I will say this: if this is truly it, and they don't do anything after, those guys, and pardon my language, but those guys fucking deserve to be retired.
Absolutely. They worked their absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know any band that's worked that hard.
Yeah.
Any band.
Yeah.
So they have earned it tenfold.
Yeah.
And tip of the hat to them for going out on top. Like, really.
Yeah. Totally. Okay, so we're wrapping up. This has been wonderful to have you here. You know, Doug, Mark W., Marquez, and Megan, it's been fantastic. What a way to celebrate, you know, our favorite band playing Canadian soil. So it's been great. Thank you for everything. Thank you for your time. And, I think we're going to have more chances to see each other. So, and keep on rocking. And again, it's been wonderful to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
Now, KISS Army, don't go anywhere just yet. The show is not over. We tried to have a former guest here on the panel, Roger Bernard of the legendary KISS Black Books, but unfortunately his schedule wouldn't allow it. But one way or another, we wanted him on this show. So we asked him to prepare a short video describing his experience on the end of the road. And that's coming up in just a second.
And immediately following Roger's video, we also prepared a little photo montage to One Last Kiss, an incredible song written and performed by Frank Galanti and Jerry Lee Watkins, and also known as the Kiss Room House Band. Enjoy, people.
Enjoy.
Hello, Kiss Army. And thank you to Pasquale and Claudio for allowing me to be part of that podcast. I'm going to give you a little briefing on the three concerts that I saw this month. I've seen the Hollywood Bowl here in California, and then I flew last weekend to Montreal to see the Montreal show on Saturday, and on Sunday was the Quebec show, my hometown. And I wanted to finish my KISS experience on seeing this tour concerts in my hometown. Let's start with the Hollywood show. Hollywood Bowl was a great venue. The crowd outside was diversified, very, very cool. A lot of kids, a lot of everything there. People were very excited. It was fun to be actually walking in to see how hyped everybody was, and tons of people dressed up. But it was a typical California. The weather was beautiful. It was an outdoor concert. So the weather was always like, is it going to be great or not? And it was perfect. I went with three friends of mine that were from the East Coast. There was Chris, Doyle, and Ron. And the three of them actually were able to give me a little bit of, they were able to compare this concert with the one that he saw previously. And they actually all agreed that this concert was a lot better overall. And the crowd was also much, much more interesting and a lot better as well. So Evan Stanley obviously opened. We were all very pleased with that. He's the son of Paul Stanley, and it really shows. He's taking care of the entire stage. He's the one talking. He's moving a lot. Lots of move that you can see. It's been inspired by his dad. And overall, very happy with that. The KISS concert itself, the stage, first of all, we were located about halfway. If you take the stage and you take the very last seat at the end, we were dead center in the middle, and which is great because you don't want to be too close. I mean, yes, you always want to have a first row tickets, but at the Hollywood Bowl, if you're a little further back, it's better because you get the whole ensemble of the entire dome for that stage with the hills behind. It's really, really great view. So the fact that there were less pods on that stage, it's okay because it makes up for actually when they have the fireworks, the pyro, it's wide open, so they can light up the entire sky. It was like Disneyland. It was really amazing to watch. Happy with that concert. Fantastic. And that's for the Hollywood one. I'm going to go to the one in Montreal. Montreal, very dear to me. I've seen KISS for the first time there in 1977, and then I saw Dynasty in 1979. So I'm very familiar with how the crowd react to them. And needless to say, my tickets on this one was different from what I had, obviously, because I had the chance of meeting somebody I know, and he had a lodge, which is a private suite on top, on the side, near that stage. So the view was perfect. And it was quite different from the Hollywood Bowl as far as looking at the entire stage. It was fun because you could see the entire crowd as well. You saw the reaction of the crowd entirely, and you saw the stage at the same time. And oh my God, when Paul was asking people to, you know, scream or do something, the reaction was priceless. It was like so, that crowd was hungry. And when a crowd is hungry, it feeds the band, and the band was performing a lot better. And I have nothing negative to say about the show performance, except that it was so electrified. It was so amazing. And only good things to say about this band. To the point that I said, man, I don't know how it's going to be in Quebec. I don't think the crowd's going to be able to rival that. So to me, the Montreal concert was the best one for me. The day after, I had to be at the concert quite early. Now the Quebec concert was special for me. It's my last one, obviously. The crowd, my ticket on this one was on the third row. So great tickets, excited about it. And then, I saw the concert from a different angle, took a lot of pictures, and my God, the confetti's at the end during Rock and Roll All Night, and that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be in there. I wanted to end my journey with KISS with that. why did that concert was so special to me also is that I have a friend that was able to get me to work during the day to set up the entire stage. So the fact that I was in the belly of the beast, if I can put it that way, it was to see all the neck and neck and how to set up everything. Like I've seen the TV show back in 1979, 3-2-1 Contact. I don't know if you've seen that video when you see that lady that was invited to help setting up the entire lighting rig. And I said, I remember in those days, I said, oh my gosh, she's so lucky. I wish I could do that. Well, I was able to do that just on my last show. So for that particular reason, that experience there made, so those three shows are all exciting for a different reason. The Hollywood Bowl for the venue itself and how it was. Montreal is for the show itself and where I was looking at it. And the Quebec City was wonderful as well. The Quebec City, by the way, to end this one, at the end, I mean, there was one song that the crowd reacted as good, by the way, as Montreal. I was very surprised to see that it was packed and the crowd was very electrified as well. So I was like, oh my God, those guys, they have it. And actually, Paul said, should we call it Quebec Rock City? So that was pretty cool when he said that. So anyway, you're having my briefing and that's my thought on those three concerts. And thank you for watching and rock and roll all night and party every day. Peace.
Yes, we're in town for KISS! There's nothing left that we can say. Just remember all the good times as we go our separate ways. So give me one last kiss before I go. Rock and roll tonight until the final. So give me one last kiss before I go. It's hard to say goodbye, but it's the end of the road. One last kiss before I go.
producers, albums, and concert appearances that really did create a musical revolution.
Gene and I were in a band, and we wanted to do a big theatrical presentation. We would rent our own concert hall.
Trying to be a critic fan because that's how rock and roll is all about.
We're going to see Kiss without their makeup for the very first time.
He's my home.